And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear. How you doing?
What's up, everybody?
And this week we are back to tackle some more episodes from the sixth season of The Office with Delivery Part 1 and Delivery Part 2, episodes 17 and 18 of this season. And before we jump into these episodes, Bear, why don't you tell everybody what they missed if they didn't listen to last week's show?
Sure. So last week we discussed Saber. I believe it was just what the episode was called,
right? Yeah, that was the title of the episode. Yeah. That's when the merger begins.
Yeah, so we're introduced to Gabe Lewis, who is the basically captain of the merger for Saber.
Saber is a printer company.
Yeah, who bought out Dunder Mifflin, so now they will be selling papers and printers.
Yes.
Like
peanut butter and jelly.
Also, we found Jim and Pam got basically told about themselves by the daycare leader, Jerry,
who's
perfectly pleasant.
I like that guy.
And also we found out David Wallace is like super duper depressed.
Yeah, he's just drinking beer in his hot tub.
Coming up with like ideas about suck it!
And looking for human contact in any way.
Basically, yeah. So then next we have the manager and the salesman, where basically we meet Joe Bennett, who is Kathy Bates' character. And she basically tells Michael and Jim, like, hey, one of you be manager, one of you go to sales. I don't give a shit who, just do it. And it's Michael choosing sales because he could make more money and then realizing that what he really wants is to be in his office where he could kind of decompress away from everybody and then come back out and terrorize everyone at the same time.
He realizes that when he's a salesman, he's on the same level as everyone else.
Yep.
Like Dwight was like mocking him.
And Aaron can't help him.
Yeah, so he's just kind of like all by himself. He'd rather be the manager because then everyone has to kind of kiss his ass.
Yeah.
So that's those two episodes. Now we start off this week with Delivery Part 1. And on the cold open, Pam is on the phone and she uses her pregnancy to get a sale.
I wouldn't say that she's using
it. No, but she's dropping it casually for sympathy in a way.
I didn't see it like that at all. I saw it as, hey, I'm going to be out of the office for 6 to 12 weeks. If you need anything, now's
the time.
Have you
ever worked in sales?
No, I'm sure she did.
She admits to doing it. She told Dwight, it's not dishonorable. I'm just doing what I have to.
No, it's not dishonorable to talk about your life.
Yeah.
She could
and
just
use
say,
it for your advantage.
I mean, she could just say, because we know Pam's not the savviest of salespeople. Or she could have been like, hey, Jim, can you take care of my clients while I'm gone so you can still get the commission?
No, she drops it because that's what a good salesperson does. You do it like you're in a conversation. You plant the seed like, oh, she's about to have a baby. She could use the money.
Oh, I don't see. I didn't see her doing that at all.
Oh, my God. That's what
it is.
Because she's a good salesman.
But I saw it as, hey, I'm going to be out of the office for the next few weeks. So if you need paper, let's do this now.
I'm not out of the office for the next 6 weeks.
I'm going out to have a baby.
Exactly.
So everybody knows she's going to be gone for 6 to 12
weeks.
Does
Jim not do the same thing, though? When he's next to her, he does the same exact thing.
I don't think he was on an actual phone call when he did that. He did that to mock Dwight.
I'm just telling you, that sales technique, and Tommy Boy, how Big Tom Callahan could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves, that is what I'm talking about right there. That's how you do it. But anyway, Dwight is like abhorrent. He's like, what? You can't do that. That's dishonorable to get your sales.
Yeah.
And Pam's like, no. Like, if it happens, it happens. You know, if you use it to your advantage.
She did not say that. She said it's not dishonorable to talk about your life.
It's implied.
No, it is not.
I think it is. That's how I see it.
Oh my God.
So Dwight calls up a customer and starts talking about his cousin's goat fungus, which I assume is Moe's.
He's bearded so quickly.
Yeah. And then he hangs up and he just looks like off in space and it goes to a talking head where he says, I need a baby to beat Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
Basically.
And he's also noticed a gaping hole in his life. He wakes up cradling gourds.
Of course it's a gourd.
Gourds.
The gourd is the most useless like vegetable. So we open up the show proper with Kevin and Pam eating in the break room. And they do a talking head with Kevin where he says that him and Pam, since she's pregnant now, are on the same eating schedule.
Oh my God.
They usually sync up for second breakfast, lunch, second lunch, and first dinner.
Oh my God.
So Kevin says before the baby comes, he wants to have an ultra feast for first dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim and Pam do a talking head where she says she's having contractions, but they're minor and far apart, so she's like near labor, not in labor. And they explain that they're holding off until midnight, because if they check in at midnight, they'll have an extra night in the hospital due to insurance coverage.
Because they're crappy HMO.
Yes. Which, I haven't heard the term HMO in forever. I feel like that's a thing in the 90s that Jay Leno used to make jokes about. But, like, I haven't heard HMO in a while. I know they still exist, but...
They do. I mean, I'm in the insurance world, so I hear it a lot more frequently.
Yeah, that's something that's, like, out of my purview.
Yeah.
But, so Michael, he comes out of his office, he hears Pam do, like, ugh! And he comes out and he tells them he'll drive them to the hospital. He baby-proofed the office. Oh, my God. And she's like, you know, the baby won't live here. And he's like, well, it was conceived here.
Oh,
he thinks
God.
The baby was conceived in the office. So she explains to everybody in the office why they're waiting till midnight.
Yeah.
And then the IT guy, like, makes a joke. He's like, you don't want to wait too long. You'll be a teenager. And then, you know, he'll bother you with his
rock and roll music.
And Michael's just like, what the fuck is wrong? And Michael's like, shut up, IT guy. Like, almost like he's the new Toby.
But I love how he looks to Angela and she's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, this guy has no allies.
No.
It's hilarious.
He put up the sight blockers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's an enemy. So Angela's eating in the break room. And we get like a throwback here to like season 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Where Dwight walks in and he's at the vending machine. And they're not looking at each other. And he just says, bear my child.
Oh, God.
And she doesn't say a thing. And he just goes, if you agree, say nothing at all. If you don't, say anything. And she doesn't say anything. So he says, meet me in the old meeting spot at 4 p.m. to bang it out. And she kind of like smiles. She's like, oh, we're going to have sex. She wants to get laid.
She's ready.
So there's 7 minutes now between Pam's contractions. And Jim wants to leave because he said, oh, between 5 and 7 minutes, the doctor said.
Yep.
So she says no, and that they'll leave when they're 5 minutes apart. She's trying to, like, bargain with Jim.
Yeah.
So Andy tells them about baby names, and that he was actually born Walter Jr., but at the age of 6, his little brother was born, and he seemed to carry more of the genetic traits of Walter Sr., so they just picked Andrew from a baby's name and changed his name.
That's so sad.
Andy's damaged.
That's, like, the saddest thing
I've ever It's funny, though, because heard. I still have no, like... Sympathy for the character, because the character's so awful. But Pam wants to be distracted, so Michael calls everyone to the conference room. Ugh. Oscar and Stanley almost leave the meeting immediately. Like, Stanley just goes, oh, I'm going to browse the internet. And they leave, and then Dwight and Angela kind of discreetly leave, because Dwight's alarm goes off. Phyllis offers to apply lipstick like Molly Ringwald in The Breakfast Club.
Dear God.
Which grosses everyone out. Andy silently does the evolution of Dance Dance.
Because music would throw off his rhythm.
Yes, he's white guy rhythm. Ryan reads bad poetry. He's wearing like a scarf too or something.
Yep,
he is.
So he was wearing one last episode too, I think.
I didn't bring it up, like the teal scarf.
Yeah, brought out his eyes.
So his new brand is like...
Hipster?
No, like coffee shop guy.
Yeah.
I guess that's his new brand now. Because he's also wearing like glasses, like hipster glasses.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, my God.
Oh, so and then Aaron gets up and starts naming Kentucky Derby winners and their jockeys, which is fucking hilarious.
Random.
So Angela meets Dwight, who is typing up a parenting contract on a legitimate typewriter. And he's going through some stuff on it. He goes, number one, the child will be breastfed for 6 months, then fed a winter vegetable mash provided by the father, Dwight K. Schrute, furthermore referred to as Morpheus.
Jesus Christ.
Back upstairs, Pam is at 6 minutes, and Kevin tells her to hold out for Ultra Feast. Mike gives Aaron a list of things that induce labor, and they're going to do the opposite.
Oh.
So the first one is rub nipples, to which Michael says, pretend Pam's nipples are Toby's grundle.
Oh my God.
Hottest image the show has ever produced.
Oh my God.
I haven't heard the term grundle.
Grundle. Yeah. I knew what it was, but I was like, you know what? I haven't heard that in like... I don't know, a decade since
term.
I was out of high school.
Yeah.
Let me just double check that it is what I think it is.
I'd say the
it is.
I'd say the much more common term would be taint. Yeah, the taint.
Yep.
So also don't eat or
grundle.
Also another one on the list, eat spicy food. And Michael goes, what's the opposite of that? And Kevin just yells out, stick spicy food up her butt.
And Jim's just like, enough.
That's when Jim freaks out. He says he's frazzled.
And he knows, and Pam knows how much he hates the word frazzled. Yes.
So he does a talking head where he says, Pam's gone crazy. And he's going through all the books on labor. And this is 5 to 7 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes, 6 minutes. Different, but not really. He's just going through. He's like, Pam should be going to the hospital. So Dwight and Angela are back downstairs talking about acceptable names as Dwight's listing them off. Ebenezer, Honus, Worf. And she freaks out about the Star
Trek. She's like, no Star Trek names.
And she goes, what if it's a girl? And then Dwight goes, Section 5, child must be male.
Oh my God.
And Angela like crosses out. She's like, I can't help that. So Pam goes down to Jim, who's sitting in the parking lot in his car. And she won't get in it because she knows he'll take her to the hospital. But she tells him everything's fine. Mm-hmm. She's not coming out. Like, it's going to be okay.
She's going to go have Ultra Feast.
And Jim, well, this is what she says. She tells him, it's all fine. She's not coming yet. And Jim goes, she? And she spills the beans that they're having a girl. And Jim gets like all teary, like, I'm having a daughter. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And he also asks Pam, did you change? And she goes, oh, yeah, my water broke. Totally nonchalant.
Jesus.
Inside, Mike says it's time to go. He tells Pam because Pam's doing the, oh, you know, more contractions. Or as Michael calls them, contraptions.
Oh, my God.
But she says no. She wants Ultra Feast. So Kevin goes, they're in the break room. Kevin has this smorgasbord laid out. He's going over all the dishes.
They're all movie themed, yeah. Right? Hollywood?
Ratatouille for Ratatouille.
Yeah.
But like she can't even talk because of the contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when like Jim comes in. He's like, we're going. And she freaks out. She's like, I can't do this. Yeah. I can't do this. And he like talks her down. He's like, you're going to be a great mom. We're going to get through this. It's going to be great. And then Jim asks Mike, where are we on the contractions? And Jim goes, 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, Michael goes, 2 minutes.
And Jim's like, what the fuck? Yeah. And now all of a sudden, Pam's like, I'm going to have the baby here.
I don't want to have a baby here.
And I swear to God, I was like expecting it to happen. I was like, they would do this. They would have the baby. And Michael would deliver the fucking baby. Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, I hate where this is going. Thank God it doesn't go there. But
thank God there's a part two.
Yeah, so Michael is going to drive them. They all rush out. Dwight is like, I'm going to escort you. So he runs out with them. And they're all on the elevator, like, hitting the button, waiting to go down. Stanley cuts off the doors.
That's
and gets
when they
off.
Realize it's 5 o'clock.
Because he wants to go home. And then Toby tries to jump on, and Michael's like, get out of here, you idiot!
Yeah.
Just, like, slaps him. So Toby has to wait. We see Dwight peels out in his stupid car. And then he stops almost immediately. He leans out the window and goes, Michael, that's where I saw the deer! It's, like, over by the fence, and the Jim's like, go! So Michael's driving Jim and Pam's car.
Mm-hmm.
And they haul off. They're stuck in traffic. It's kind of heavy. So Dwight pulls off this red siren and puts it on, you know, like a volunteer fireman.
Yeah.
And he puts it on there and he starts driving and we hear a real siren as a car comes. It's a cop car. And you hear them over the speaker like, pull over. Don't make this difficult, Dwight. Like, yeah. They do this all the time.
As Dwight is throwing out weaponry Dwight's, from his car.
He's going 10 miles per hour throwing out swords. Like
axes, hatchets.
Shit that the Ninja Turtles would have, like size and nunchucks and shit. Just whipping them out the window. So they all pass him, and that's when Pam... Okay, you got to explain this to me. Pam freaks out because they don't have the iPod, so they can't play the birth song. What is this?
I think this was like a...
This seems like a really white person thing.
Oh, yeah. It seems like the thing white people with dreadlocks would do.
Like waspy
people. Yeah, no,
people.
I think it was like, you don't get that reference.
I don't
either.
Get that reference. I'm sorry.
You will eventually. No, I think this was something that was more popular in the mid-aughts, like the early, late aughts. I don't know. But like people will have, they wanted a specific song to give birth to, so that's the first thing that the baby hears, and that's what's welcoming the baby into the world.
That's almost as fucking stupid as gender reveals. Actually, it might be even fucking stupider than a gender reveal.
But anyway, do you want to know what I think is so funny about this, though?
Go.
Is the fact that they live on Linden Ave in Scranton, right?
And they're going to Moses Taylor Hospital.
Which is approximately, 4 minutes away from each other.
If that, yeah. Well, they
and
make
she's
it
saying
so...
that it's 20 minutes past the hospital.
It's across town.
Bitch, are you walking to the hospital and all of the roads are shut down?
The Scranton geography means nothing to the
nothing
writers.
Nothing to them. I get that they're in L.A. and they're filming this and there's traffic in L.A. Girl, just Google Maps Scranton because I'm pretty positive that any of the hospitals, there's three
they're centrally
hospitals
located,
in Scranton, all within like a mile of each other.
Mm-hmm. They're all there's centrally
no,
located.
Yeah, there's no way that any of those would take that long to get to.
So that's going on.
So that kind of threw me off. Sorry, go
but
on.
But she wants the iPad, or iPod for the song, whatever. So Michael calls Dwight to get it, he has him on speakerphone, to go to Jim and Pam's house and get it off the counter. And Pam tries telling him where it is. and to where the key is to get inside the house. And Dwight's like, I don't need a key. La, 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 la. And just hangs up.
Yeah, he's
just
he's getting a ticket.
He's going to do it his way. So Michael Parks in the... They get there. Jim and Pam run in. Michael Parks in like the emergency zone for ambulances. He gets out and there's like a nurse or a EMT there. Like, you can't park there. That's an emergency. And Michael just takes the keys, whips them across the highway.
Yo.
And it's like, yeah, well, I am. And just runs inside. And that's it. Yeah. That's the episode. What'd you give this one?
I gave it a 3.1.
I gave it a 4. Okay, wow. These past few episodes have been a train wreck for you.
No, shit. 3.1 is still good.
It's okay. It just for you, that's low.
Yeah, it just wasn't anything spectacular to me. I laughed, and a lot happened, but nothing like specifically stood out to me.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed Ultra Feast. I enjoyed the conference room stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there was stuff I enjoyed. There was stuff I didn't enjoy. I guess... I don't know. The IT guy was funny. Fuck Toby. Like, I don't know.
Toby's grundle was, like, the best part.
I think you're kind of underselling the Dwight Angela stuff, too. With the love contract, or the Bear My Child contract. Yeah. Because I thought that stuff was pretty
conception
funny.
Conception contract.
I thought that was really funny, and it's obviously bringing back that relationship, I guess.
Well, no, because it's like strictly contractual.
Well, yeah, it's just for that. But I mean, they're seeing each other. They're gonna have relations,
intercourse.
Yes. So I mean, you got that. But
yeah,
it was. No, okay. I mean, maybe I was high.
No, I don't think you were. Honestly, it's just for me. Maybe I was in a bad mood when I watched it, because usually I do really love this episode.
How many times have you seen it?
Maybe
it's a thing of diminishing returns where you've seen these episodes so many times now that they're just kind of rote, you know what I mean?
No, you don't think so? No, because there's still ones that I laugh hysterically at.
Like what? Scott's Tots?
No, Dinner Party. Every single time I watch it, I laugh.
Uh-huh.
Every single time. There's some in the future that I laugh at. Like, the weight loss ones, like that whole saga, I laughed through those. Like
stress relief.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's good ones. But I don't know. That's just like this is first time I've ever seen this. So
no, and that's fine. Like I said, no, I enjoyed it. I don't want people to think at a 3.1 is that I didn't enjoy it. I did.
When you're usually throwing out,
it just wasn't uproarious.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It was a solid episode.
No creep.
It's just it wasn't like knee slapper.
Gotcha.
Maybe my caliber is getting higher.
Ooh, well then these late seasons are fucked. Because I don't think I'm gonna be giving out a lot of high scores. Because that's just how I am. I'm not a high score guy. But that'll do it for that episode. Unless you want to talk about other stuff. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Lack of Andy. Good shit.
Lack of Andy.
Oh, that's true. There was no Andy Aaron stuff that episode.
Thank God.
Which. This next one, we're going to get into some Andy Aaron stuff.
Dear God.
Dear God.
I'm already over it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kevin, before I start, why don't you put us over?
Hey, everybody. This is the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. And no, you guys can find us on most podcatcher apps. We're out there on Podbean, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, etc., etc. You can find us there. You could also find us on the Jenny Position feed, where you can subscribe to and listen to us, as well as other shows from Jennifer Smith and friends, such as Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and many more. Also, Mare Bear. Are we on social media?
We are, guys.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Twitter, because we like to keep it funky fresh with our favorite screen grabs from our episodes. You can find us at Brosis Podcast or via email. Kev, tell them where.
BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. All one word. If you want to send longer form feedback that we can read on the show or just respond to in kind, if you're looking, we've had people ask us where they can find older episodes or things about us, etc., etc. And we'd be happy to interact with you. We'd be happy if you shared the show around. That is a very important thing to me and Mary, because we have a very good, very great, solid listener base.
Yeah, we do.
People out there who listen
to
us.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, you guys, you know, interact. We appreciate all of you. But if you guys would go out there and share on Facebook.
Want to lengthen our reach.
On Tumblr, I think, is one.
I don't think Tumblr is a thing anymore.
Okay, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. what's another one?
Snapchat.
Yes. Oh, if you want to go out there and share it on that. Share the show around, though, and help us grow, because hell,
we have a lot of fun doing it, and I think a lot of people have fun listening to us go off on tangents, especially when we go off like the Animaniacs.
Or Joe Chemo last week.
Joe Chemo, like last week.
Which I think a lot of people enjoyed, from what I understand.
I think so, too.
So, that's that. That's the halftime intermission portion of the show. Mayor Bear, what do you got now?
That brings us to episode 18, Delivery Part 2.
All right, let's do it.
There is no cold open.
Yeah, that was weird. Okay. I also wanted to comment that last episode, the first part of Delivery, is only like 19 minutes. It's a short ep.
Really?
For some reason, it's short. Like most episodes are 22 minutes.
Yeah.
That one was only 19.
Oh, I didn't.
But then this
that.
Episode was 24.
I wonder if the Olympics fucked it up.
I don't know. Usually they don't run anything. They don't usually run anything in prime time for those 2 weeks.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure what the deal was with that.
Yeah.
But then this one was longer at 24 minutes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Just a note. Yeah, but no cold open is weird.
Yeah.
Because again, I had to rewind.
It's very jarring.
I had to rewind.
We're so used to it now. Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
So now Pam, so we're at the hospital and Jim is explaining how he had to go get ice chips because he may or may not have passed out a little bit, got a little weak. But Pam has been in labor for 19 hours.
That sounds excruciating.
Yeah, especially because think about her day. Like,
she was
at work.
Yeah.
Going through these contractions. And what? Now she's 19 hours of active labor at the hospital.
Question. What's the average time?
Oh, I have no idea, but I know people who have gone through like 72 hours of labor and then still
possible?
Had to get a C-section.
How's that possible? They don't sleep, I'm assuming.
No, they don't.
God, fucking zombies.
Yeah. There's a reason why new parents are like fucked up mentally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
Now I might understand why people name their kids like, you know, Pilot Inspector and Apple.
Or
they're just in
what, Kyle or what was it?
Kyle.
Yeah, the one that Elon Musk, I mean, it's probably going to be old news by the time this episode is released, but he named his kid like X equal sign Y.
XAE 12, 1, or something.
It's like fucking binary code or something. It's stupid, yeah.
But,
well, it's not stupid because the man's a multimillionaire.
I do love billionaire.
Billionaire, excuse me.
I love the name Keanu, though, but our mom already said, she's like, yeah, I wouldn't
it's not her
call
kid.
It that.
It's not her
she's
kid.
She's like, I wouldn't be able to pronounce its name.
No, she would. Oh my God, she would butcher that. And that's
she
a family
just be
trait.
Like, I'm just going to call it Key.
Our grandfather, our mother, and our brother just butcher shit. They verbally.
Oh, terrible.
Verbally, just like, our grandfather, Nomar Garcia Pera, became Nomar Gaspar.
Oh my God.
Manny Ramez. He couldn't pronounce like the Latin names.
Yeah.
David Ortiz.
Ortiz.
There was another one. Aww. Oh, CC Sabathia was CC Sabatini. Fuck it. Or no,
you can do Italian names.
It was CC Sabatini, and then the one time he's like, Sebastian. Fucking awesome.
Oh, Grandpa. But, so anyway, she's in labor for 19 hours.
Yep.
So now Michael arrives, and he has all these big pink balloons, and he's like, oh, family only behind these doors. He walks back, opens the door, and all you hear is Pam screaming, the nurse telling Jim, maybe you should go get more ice chips, and Michael comes out looking stunned.
It
like, he just saw a ghost.
It sounds like the birth scene in Men in Black, when Will Smith, like, takes that little squid monster. Like, it sounds like that. It's just, like, chaos.
Oh, my God. So, Michael walks out stunned, and everybody from the office comes up, and they're all just kind of waiting. And then Phyllis is like, we can't wait here all day.
Yeah.
And Michael kind of, like, scolds her, like, what do you have to do? She's like, I have an ice cream cake in the car. Which, as everybody knows, that takes top priority.
Absolutely.
And he's Michael, like, go, woman, go! Yeah,
save it.
So then Michael goes back to check in on things, and he hears the birth, and his face, like, lights up like he did with Holly, I think. Yeah. And he's, like, lighting up a cigar, and he's like, yeah, you see?
Yeah, I think he acts like Little Caesar, like the mobster.
He's like, yeah, see? It's a girl. They had a baby. And then a nurse yells at him, you can't light that in here, sir. Put it out.
Yeah, he turns into Gene Oakland. Put that cigarette out. Awesome.
So now Jim comes out and he announces to everybody, Cecilia Marie Halpert, 7 pounds, 2 ounces. And Michael's like, 11 pounds. And he's like, no.
Elephant child.
18 inches. Both mom and baby are doing great. Everybody congratulates him.
Phyllis is scarfing down cake.
Yo,
it's on
she's
her
got
nose.
A huge corner piece with all the icing.
It's all over her face, like a 3-year-old. Even.
Yeah. And she just kind of like smiles, like weird.
Babies.
So then we're back in the hospital room and Grandma's there.
Helene
is there.
Who, we did not talk about this in the episodes when Michael was dating her.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different actress than...
Oh, the original. The original. When Roy came and he put on the classics.
The finger guns, yeah.
Bill Cosby sweater.
Totally different woman.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I know. I
put like Bing Crosby and Bill Cosby.
I was
going to
be nice and just ignore it, but... Yeah, but we should have brought that up then. Totally different
Yeah,
one.
Two different actresses.
I don't know why they shelved the other one.
But. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't available. Maybe she died. Who knows? Okay. Well, it happens. Okay. I mean, she was only a shot in the... A flash in the pan.
Moving on. She's dead.
Anyway.
She's dead.
She's the chair model. So, Grandma Helene has coffee, and Pam goes, "Oh, caffeine, I haven't had any in 9 months." And Jim gives this look to the camera, yep. Like, bullshit.
Classic Halpert look.
And then Michael comes in, and he's got all of his balloons. He's like, "I want to see the baby." And I it's actually funny, because I did that to my friends when they had their baby. I'm like, I want to see the baby.
I wouldn't have got that.
No, you wouldn't have. No. I did it to my friends who like The Office, who know it.
They would understand.
They did understand. But, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Michael walks in and he's like, "Hi, Helene, how are you? I worry about you." Like, what the fuck, Michael? What the fuck? So then Michael is holding the baby. Helene leaves. She's like, "I think it's time for me to go." Which, Helene is, like, in a business suit.
Yeah, she's working.
For a 60-some-year-old woman.
58.
58-year-old.
Working girl with income, Mare Bear, okay? Come on.
She looks good, though, for a 58.
Looks good.
So then Michael's holding the baby, and you can just tell, like, he is so happy.
Oh, you totally skipped the part with the hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah.
When
Pam
goes,
makes him put on hand sanitizer, and he squirts on his hands, rubs them together, puts it on his pants,
wipes
and she goes...
Off.
Again, without the pants.
She makes him do it again. He's like a little kid.
So now, Dwight is at Pam and Jim's house. He donkey kicks in a door, like a window in a door, and breaks in. And he explains how he couldn't find the iPod, and he's just, like, rummaging through their kitchen. Mm. But he did find mold. A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did what any normal person would do. He got a good night's sleep, took a bath. And he's in Jim and Pam's bed.
With no pants
with
on.
With no underwear
yeah,
on.
His dick is out.
And he then goes on to demo and destroy the kitchen.
Yep.
So now Michael is explaining how he made a family. He's at the office and he's explaining to everybody, you know, like, she sat here and he sat there and I got them together and I made a family with Jim and Pam. And I can help you too. I can help you find love. I'm a matchmaker.
He's Cupid now.
Ugh. And he's like, "Meredith, you're single." And she just goes, "Never getting married, like Clooney."
Oh, God.
Which is just amazing.
Ugh.
So then Jim and Pam are at the hospital, and they're just staring at the baby. And the nurse is, which the nurse is the MVP of this episode.
Yeah,
almost.
She's hardcore.
She walks in
with her Moses
like, oh,
Taylor yeah. Lanyard.
"Would you like me to take her to the nursery so you can get a good night's sleep?" And they decide to keep her in the room for the first night. And let's just say it's tough.
Yeah, it's difficult.
They can't swaddle her right. She's just screaming. They're getting frustrated with each other.
Yeah, they're at each other's throats, kind
yeah. of. And Pam's like, "I don't know if I'm, like, releasing the milk." Like, she's trying to breastfeed. She's like, "I don't know if she's getting enough." And Jim says, "You're pushing the milk out, right?" And she's like... "And how would I do that, Jim?" And he, like, does this thing with his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, oh, no, like, he's tightening his chest. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, like, the nurse comes in because Jim presses the button and pretends, like, Pam sat on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I can just take her to the nursery and we can try later. Or I can give her a bottle. And Pam, having read the parenting books, is like, no, I have read about nipple confusion. I don't want to get her off and blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to make sure her self-esteem is up. And the nurse, like... rolls her eyes almost, and she's like, "Oh, good, you know everything." Like, which I can only imagine L&D nurses are like.
Oh, every day, man. Yeah, every day.
Like, you have to be a saint to have to put up with brand new parents like
that. Oh, yeah, the ones who are, like, all fucking neurotic and shit. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God. Helicopter parents, I believe, are what they're called.
Oh, God, I hate them.
So now, Michael is in his office, and Aaron comes in, and he's like, "Aaron, I've decided who you will be set up with." And you just hear giggling.
It's like a muffled noise. Like almost like Chewbacca. Like,
yeah. And it's with Kevin. They're going to have lunch together. And she's kind of shocked. And Yeah. So okay. Aaron's like, oh, okay, Michael, can I talk to you alone? She explains how she actually does like Andy. Mm. But Michael's like, oh, I already kind of promised him that you'd have lunch with them. And, you know, Kevin's got a big heart. No, like, really, he's got an elephant heart. And he makes up this, like, that he got an elephant heart transplant. And he guilts her into having lunch with him. So now Pam and Jim get a roommate. Another newly birthed baby in their mother.
From the Big Bang Theory.
Oh my god, it is.
And Miss Melissa.
The really annoying one with the high voice!
Melissa Rauch, I think her name. Rock, something like that.
Yeah, something. But that's the new roommate. Yep. And they're almost jealous as they're watching her being able to just shove her boob in the kid's mouth and it just latches. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look at how she latches. And Jim's like, I think she's doing the shoulder thing to push the milk out.
Push it out.
Oh, which, I'm sorry, a 30-some-year-old man doesn't know how breast milk works?
Hey.
Oh, he went to Scranton schools.
He didn't have any experience, I guess.
He went to Scranton schools. That's all I'm saying.
Never mind.
So anyway, Dwight is still demoing the kitchen at the house, but now he has three other guys with him, and they're listening to rock music. Yeah, it's like war up in there.
Oh, I wish.
So now Aaron and Kevin are having lunch, and Aaron's trying her best. She's like, did you grow up here? And Kevin just goes, no.
So you grew up somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just monosyllabic answers.
It's just so awkward, and you can see Andy peering through a plant through the window at them. And Andy explains how he did that.
Some dumb high school story, but he's just doing it because he's jealous.
Yeah, jealous because he thought Aaron and Kevin were
everything he
it
does
off.
Is so stupid. I'm sorry.
Guys, tell us what your real feelings on Andy are. If it's just us.
If we're just hard asses, I don't know. Yeah.
Like, let us know if we're a little too harsh on Andy. So, anyway, a gentleman walks into the hospital room. And he says that Josie, the nurse, said that they could use some lactation consulting. And Jim's like, oh, yeah, let us know when she's available. And he's like, oh, actually, I'm the lactation specialist. Jim's already, like, totally skeeved out
about
it.
Very uncomfortable.
Do you know who that guy is?
He seemed familiar, but I couldn't
place him. He's Jenna Fisher's real-life husband.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it's a good thing he flicked her nipple.
So it's not as weird that he's flicking her nipple and using a C shape to make her boob into a torpedo. And Jim's just watching this guy do this, and he's just like, oh, yeah. Like, he's reading, like, a highlights magazine, and he's like, yeah, yep, well, yep, flick that nipple.
Totally
That's good.
Weirded out.
And so she's like, oh, yeah, it's working. And the guy uses the hand sanitizer, and he leaves. He's like, I'll be back later to check on you. And Pam's like, oh, no, go grab Clark. The baby fell off. She's not latched. And he's like, well, I watched him do it. I can do it. And she's like, it would be weird if you did it.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, oh, yeah, I'll just go get the other guy. Which is just amazing. So Dwight and Angela are going through the contract revision. And Dwight's still at Jim and Pam's. And they're on the phone. And he's like, meet me here at exactly mid-afternoon.
Mid-late afternoon.
Mid-late afternoon. To sign the contract. So now the baby is crying. It's they're sleeping. The baby's crying. And Pam's like, Jim, get up and get the baby. So Jim, like, rolls off the hospital bed that he shouldn't be sleeping in. Because I don't think they're supposed to do that. And he grabs the baby. And Pam unsheaths her breasts. And the baby latches right on. She's like, oh, my God, we're doing it.
Oh, my God. And they go back to sleep as the baby sucks on her nipple.
Yeah, they're pumped. So now Aaron goes up to Kevin, and you can see Michael, like, creeping in the background. She's like, I'm really happy that we're friends, and I hope that our friendship can continue.
She tries to let him down gently.
So gently. And Michael steps in and says that Aaron would never want to date Kevin, and whatever made him think that, and why would he believe him, because Michael's the one who said it.
Just blows it up, man.
And Kevin's like, I dated people hotter than Aaron. Lynn was way hotter.
Yeah, Lynn,
if we remember from last Valentine's Day.
When they made out in Cafe Disco.
And then he calls Michael out and he's like, you dated Holly and Jan and they were both way hotter than you. And Michael's like, I wouldn't say they were way hot. Like,
I have a personality.
Yeah. Oh my God. It got so deep there.
Yep.
So then Isabel,
the bridesmaid,
comes to visit and Pam is like, oh, she's just feeding, like, let me burp her so she doesn't spit up on you. And Pam looks at the baby. And yep. It's not their baby. It's not Cecilia. So she like wakes Jim up and she's like, "Run, baby! Run, baby!" He puts the baby back in the little thing.
Pushes it over.
Yeah, he just pushes it over and it starts fussing. And they grab their baby, and she's just, like, holding the baby, like, oh, my God, what the fuck, what the fuck?
They're looking like kids who just, like, broke their mom's vase.
Yeah,
and they're like, run away!
Yeah. But then the other mom wakes up, and she's like, oh, is she fussing long? I've been out like a light. They're like, oh, no, not long. And she's like, huh, she doesn't seem to want a latch. And the baby's just freaking out. Let's get into breastfeeding somebody else's kids because, one, you don't know what allergies they have. So, another mother's breast milk could cause issues for another baby. There's actually... Okay, so one of my friends just had a baby, and they posted this thing about donor milk, where, like, lactating moms who don't use it for their own children or have a surplus can donate it.
I have a friend who does that. Yeah. Him and his wife.
Yeah, and...
They have, like, a fucking chest freezer full of them.
Yeah. But there's also, like, different types. Like, there's gluten-free, there's dairy-free. Like, there's ones that, with kids that have issues, they take the fat out of the milk. Like, there's a whole...
And then there's general tit milk.
Yeah, then there's normal. But, yeah, so, like, that could really fuck the kid up. I'm just saying.
Well, the babies don't think about that. Babies are like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
She was hungry! That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes, no, that is appropriate, actually. So then, and the nurse comes in to check on them and is like, 25 minutes.
Yeah, you gotta be out of here at 3.
Yeah, and Jim's like, oh, we're half hour. She goes, or 25 minutes. And she's like, do you have the car seat? And he's like, yeah, it's right over there. She goes, the bottom part needs to go in the car. And Jim, being snarky as fuck, is like, well, the whole thing does, actually. Ha ha ha. And she's like, I'll be back in 25 minutes.
He might have gotten extra 5 minutes.
He might have if he wasn't such a snark.
Yeah.
So now Isabel brings macaroni and cheese over to Jim and Pam's because she knows they're not going to want to cook immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight is still there. And they try to flirt and he's like, I know I'm an adult and all, but maybe I can come and get my teeth cleaned. And she's like, everybody should get their teeth cleaned, like adults and children. And he just like laughs and he's like, oh, how some people spend their money.
Well, he uses clay and butter. Yeah. brushes his teeth.
Oh my God. But, and she's like still down though. Yeah,
they're going to
hook
up. He's
like, I'll give you a call. And she's like, yeah, do that.
She, oh my God.
Even speaking about, she knows he uses clay and butter.
Speaking about out of leagues.
Oh my God. Terribly.
That girl might be the hottest one that's ever been on the show.
On the show, hotter than Jan. She's hotter than Hot Girl.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna say Amy Adams is not hot.
But she's hotter than.
Oh, Hot she's Girl. Hotter than Hot Girl. Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
No. Oh yeah. Amy Adams is a fox. Well. But Isabel.
She's also a ginger. We just shed on ginger.
Yeah, she's a daywalker. But Isabel is a brunette, so therefore she's superior.
Okay. Spoken from a true brunette.
With red in her hair.
Yeah. Did you put the red in your hair? Is that natural?
Some of it's natural. Some of it's
what is your natural
over.
Color?
What my roots are in quarantine. Brown.
I see some gray.
There are no gray.
No play.
That is our sister.
Oh,
I am
okay.
Not gray.
Okay, shots fired.
No, she said it herself the other day.
I got like a little one hair right here on my chin, and I freaked out and I immediately nuked it. I was like, fuck it.
My husband's gone gray a little bit, and his sideburns, he's getting a couple. Well,
he's also losing it.
Stop. You're so mean.
I'm not mean. I would never say that to
anyway,
his face.
Anyway, back to the scourge of this episode.
I just say it to millions of people listening.
Back to the scourge of this episode.
Yeah, Aaron.
Oh, sorry. No, Jim and Pam are discharged. The guy brings her down in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you didn't pull the car around, Jim? Yeah, a lot of dads pull the car around. So then Jim has to go and find the car that Michael beached in front of the fucking hospital. So now, again, the scourge. Andy asks Aaron to send a fax, and he says he's going to wait for the confirmation that it's really important. And
what does
Andy
the fax
explains
say?
That the fax says, Aaron, will you go out with me?
Yeah.
And she doesn't realize. So she's like, oh, it's busy. I'll just bring you the confirmation later. And he's like, no, Aaron, you need to do it right now, otherwise you're fired.
Well, he doesn't, yeah, he says it as like a joke. He's like, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You'll have to get fired.
But she starts crying.
Yeah. She's like, you can't talk to me that way.
Yeah, because he threatens to fire her. And then he's like, no, 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 read the facts. Which is even better that she doesn't even realize that the fax number she's dialing is her own fax
that
number.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah. So, they're going out on Thursday. And she still tries to send the fucking fax. Idiot. So then, the fucking guy at the hospital is like, I have a lot of discharges today. Do you need help getting out of the wheelchair with your newborn baby?
He just leaves Pam on a bench out front.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And so then Pam's like, the baby's crying. She's like, all right, you want to try this one more time? And she puts this cape.
A smock.
Yeah.
So nobody could see her exposed.
No, I get that. But like, it's just, I've never seen somebody have an actual smock like that.
We used to have them in preschool when we did arts and crafts.
Yeah, for arts and crafts.
I had my Ninja Turtles smock.
Sesame Street one.
Ninja Turtles, man.
Oh, I had Big Bird on mine.
I'm such a Raphael.
Yes, you are. But, so anyway, she's finally able to get the baby to latch. Jim returns. There were 5 tickets on the windshield.
Yes.
And he's like, they're all just like happily sitting on the bench because she's finally able to get the baby to latch and feed.
Yep.
And then Dwight and Angela are at Jim and Pam's house signing the contract, and they have 2 forms of ID in order to validate that that is the person who is signing the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they're signing, like, she's like, how would you like to celebrate? And he goes, pour yourself some apple juice. I feel sick.
Yeah, he already regrets it because the other chick is into him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then he walks away, and Jim and Pam return home. And they kind of just stare at him. And he's like, I'll be out of your hair in a few days.
Yeah, as the kitchen is just in disarray.
Yeah, they're just like, fuck everything.
Yep.
And that's it.
What'd you give this one, Bear?
I give this one a 4.0.
I gave it a 3.5.
All right.
I liked it. I'm trying to think of my favorite part. My favorite part is probably Michael yelling at Kevin, honestly. I don't know why, but that one like tickled me the most. Just because, like, the way Kevin, like, got defensive with him. Like, you dated hot girls. Like, but, I mean, other than that, like, Dwight demolishing the house is good shit.
Oh, God. Oh, and he has to ask Jim where he got his delightful sheets.
Yeah, that he was bare-ass. Like, the only thing that really dragged it down mostly was the Aaron Andy
and
stuff.
Aaron.
And, like I say, every time it's Andy, man. Like, I've never seen...
If he didn't start out being as obnoxious as he was...
He wasn't even that obnoxious in Stamford.
No, not in Stamford. It was once he got here.
Oh, when he started...
Do you think that we would hate him as much if he didn't start off obnoxious?
Yeah, because if this is the end point regardless, like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's another thing is that, like you say, like, oh, if it built up... It did build up because he wasn't this bad in the beginning. And I've watched a lot of television and a lot of movies in my life... I can't think of many characters who are as...
Who I cannot stand to see on the screen.
They're,
as
like,
much
detrimental to the show.
Yeah.
Like, everybody talks about Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. Or, like, Ted McGinley, like, when he became Jefferson Darcy on, like, Married with Children and shit. Like, this guy is, like, a show killer.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, a moment killer. Elliot Reed. Like, it's like the last season of Scrubs. It's like every scene with Andy is just like, oh.
Carla's not there.
What it could have been. And then, like, Andy ruins it. I hate it. I hate Andy. He just...
The character is just...
The character's too much, but Ed Helms overdoes it. Like, there's... I feel like there's
I think he was, like, directed to...
Do you think there's a way to play this character subtle? Or do you think this character just has no ability to be subtle?
I think this character has no ability to be subtle because... Any subtlety, and he would have been Michael Scott. Any form of subtlety.
And you only need one Michael. It's like they're competing to be horrible. And that's not great for the viewing experience.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that really takes away. Like, I understand, like, that's what you want to put forward.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
You might enjoy producing it. Doesn't mean I'll enjoy watching it. And that's where I am with Andy. But, so, cross this one off on the Jim Pam bingo card. They had a kid. Baby born. I almost feel like... The stages of the Jim Pam relationship. So we grew up Catholic.
Mm.
I feel like it's like the sacraments. First Holy Communion.
Oh my God.
Confession. What is the one? Confirmation.
We grew up Catholic. You should know this.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Anointing of the sick. Yeah. You know, like all that shit. Like, I feel like we're nailing them all off as they go, oh, they got together. They had sex in a first kiss. Not together. But, oh, they got engaged. Oh, they got married. Oh, they're having a baby. Like, we're just,
they,
like,
live together.
We're going through their whole, like, fucking spiel, you know what I mean?
That's this the is normal just progression of a relationship.
For them and nobody else on the show.
That's because they're the closest
I know,
to normal.
I know.
I'm them just, and Oscar are the closest humans to normal.
I'm just saying, it's just like, I wonder what's next. I almost feel like divorce is down the road.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a good show. I gave it 3.5. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed
anything
it.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we nailed it all, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing that would prolong this episode would be to bitch about Andy more.
Yeah. We nailed it like Jim nailed Pam in the and conceived in the office.
Okay. Anyway, guys.
That was a joke about conceiving in the office.
Yeah, I know.
All right, tell them.
Next week we have episode 19, St. Patty's Day. And episode 20, New Leeds.
I think next week we're going to start off with a, what do they call it? The preamble about St. Patrick's Day in Scranton.
Oh, yes.
So we'll start off because I think that episode, if it is true to the whole Scranton lore, I think that we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going
to. But, yeah, so guys, that'll do it for this week. As always, you can find us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast.
Via email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you can find our show on most podcatcher apps. Go on there, look for the Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast. Or you can find us on the Ginny Position podcast feed where you can listen to us and other great shows and, you know, satisfy that podcast itch.
Make sure you share us around with your friends.
Greatly appreciate it. And until next time, we'll catch you on down the road.
Bye, guys.